medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, I have returned. It is Atomic Dog Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You can follow Atomic Dog Radio through both Twitter and on Facebook. And you can check out our faces occasionally on Instagram.
Hey, Russ.
Yes, ma'am.
Tonight's guest, we have Elizabeth Orrick, from the National Campaign Manager for Puppy Mill Initiatives from Best Friends Animal Society.
Don't panic, Jillian.
I did. There's so much to say right here. She's our all-around gal pal to the dogs.
You like that?
Yeah. Love that.
All right. Good, good. Our training segment today is going to be Puppy Care Crash Course. We know that there's lots of new puppies making their way into your homes this spring, so we'll give you a little background on that and how to take care of them.
Some pointers. And in our discussion tonight, did you know the younger generation has a different perception on rescue dogs, one that you wouldn't think?
I don't think much.
You don't think much about the younger generation?
Or anything else,
or
for
anything.
That matter. And dogs in the news. You're not going to believe this, but people parts for dogs.
Oh.
That's it. Just people parts for dogs.
I don't even know what's happening. Oh, well, hey, y'all heard me introduce Miss Elizabeth Orrick from Best Friends Animal Society. Hey, Elizabeth.
Welcome back. I'm so tickled to be here.
You're tickled.
You're giggling.
Well, you know, I follow you on the FacePlace, on the Facebook, and I follow Best Friends, so I see constantly you are a busy, busy woman, driving here, driving there, and all kinds of new initiatives have popped up or passing in the legislature, right?
Yeah.
The government speak goes way over my head, so you're going to have to tell us where we are with the initiatives.
Well, it is right now. Congresses are in session in all the states.
And in all the states?
Well, pretty much. I mean, they're just wrapping up. Some adjourn sooner than
others.
But there's a lot of great stuff happening and a lot of bills that are working their way through the legislatures. There's one really good bill in West Virginia, which is really a puppy mill bill. It's a commercial breeding bill. And we've been trying every year for 5 years to try and get something through because we did a huge rescue in 2008. Of a mill that was shut down that had over 1,000 dogs in it. And we worked to try and find homes for those dogs to get them out of there. And so this was just a good example of why West Virginia needed to start regulating commercial breeding there, because puppy mills were just running rampant.
There were more of those.
Have been.
Now, if you mentioned this puppy mill was shut down, who shut it down, first of all?
I believe it was the USDA.
Okay, so the USDA comes in, they shut it down. Do they not make provisions for the animals at the time they're going to shut it down? Or they just come in and shut it down, and then they say, well, here, find homes for these guys. We don't know what to do.
Right. Well, often they'll work with rescue groups, big groups like Best Friends or HSUS, ASPCA, groups that have the resources to come in and do a huge rescue. A lot of times they get shut down, and they end up selling the dogs at auction, and, you know, we never want to see that happen.
So is it not – are you ever given advance notice that it's coming up?
Well – yes, but not a lot of advance notice. So it ends up being an emergency response situation. And when you're talking about that many dogs from a backwoods,
that's insane.
A backwoods mill in West Virginia, it's a problem. And so we've been trying to get something passed that at least requires these breeders to be licensed and have to provide just basic minimum standards of care for the dogs. And every year it has failed, and this year it finally passed. So it's sitting on the governor's desk waiting for a signature. So that's super exciting because that's one of those places where we just, you know, we weren't sure it was ever going to happen.
I find it interesting because we've talked about the USDA, that their standards are way low because they're considered livestock, dogs included. So there actually is a standard at which they'll go in and bust it up. I mean, I'm surprised. I didn't know that they actually went in Well,
the
thing
is,
rescue groups that found out.
Well, the USDA has standards, but this, not all the states have standards. Only about 35 of the states have their own standards. So, if a breeder is not selling wholesale to pet stores or to brokers, if they're just selling directly to the public, they're not required to be licensed by the USDA.
Oh.
And so, if they're in a state like West Virginia that doesn't have any kind of requirements, and they are selling directly to the public or through eBay or online or
ones,
directly through classified ads or phone catalogs, they don't have to even provide the minimal standards of care that the USDA requires. So that's why we find 1,000 dogs living in squalor, why we find so much, you know, just terrible rampant cruelty, and why we're trying to crack down on those kinds of breeders and try and bring them under some kind of, you know,
so the West
oversight.
Virginia one has passed, or it's gone on for a vote?
Like it has passed through Congress, and now it's
state Congress.
Sitting on the governor's desk waiting for a signature.
And hopefully he'll return to his desk at some point.
Right. Well, he has to sign it by the 10th or do nothing by the 10th, in which case it goes into law. The worst case scenario would be that he vetoes it, but that would be...
If it goes into law, do they have people to enforce it?
They do. I mean, every state has its own... agriculture.
Okay.
There's so many problems with enforcement. I know in the town where I live, they have laws against dogs running free. And I spoke to the mayor of the town, and the mayor said, "Yes, we have laws in place. We just don't have anybody to enforce it. So basically, the law doesn't exist."
Right.
And we may talk a few minutes about the story with the AKC, and that they have literally 9 inspectors to cover the tens of thousands of breeders through the whole country.
Right.
So it almost makes some of these laws seem like they're not going to be very effective because there's no way to enforce it.
Well, we don't believe in not passing good laws because there are enforcement challenges, because there is such a thing as voluntary compliance, and there is such a thing as giving tools to the authorities, whether it's the police department or it's the DA, to impose fines and penalties when somebody does get caught.
Right.
Not complying. So even though there may not be enough inspectors, or in your case, you know, police officers to enforce laws that are already on the books, it doesn't mean you just say, well, you know,
why bother?
Why bother? I mean, it was the same with the seatbelt law, and it was the same with the cell phone law in the beginning. You know, they can't get everybody, but you kind of have to hope that the risk of getting caught is going to make people comply, and that there are good people who are just going to comply with
the
law.
What laws
because
do anyway.
Exactly.
You made a comment. You said good people. Good people will comply. Do the people who run, say, this breeding mill that had over 1,000 dogs, do they think they're doing something wrong?
Oh, I don't think any of them do. I mean, I think they know that they're not in compliance because it's very clear what rules are.
Right.
I think they've got to, you know, they can't look at these dogs that are half dead in their facility and think that that's good. But I think that they overlook that because the profit incentive is so compelling and so strong, and people can justify what they do very easily when profit is a factor.
Even lives. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I know.
I could justify it.
Look
for
at
any
war.
Money.
At war, you know,
we forgo
human lives all the time with that.
So there's some cool stuff happening at the state level, and then, you know, I've talked about these pet sales ordinances every time I'm here. These ordinances to prohibit the retail sale of puppy mill and kitten milled animals in pet stores. And just yesterday, Hoboken, New Jersey,
Hoboken
became the 32nd city in North America to pass such an ordinance. Fourth in New Jersey, they're on fire out there.
Yeah.
And then also yesterday, San Diego.
I was about to say, I thought you were in San Diego yesterday.
I was not in Hoboken. I was admiring from afar. I was in San Diego, and that ordinance has been approved by the first city council committee and now goes to the full council for a vote. And they're the 8th largest city in the country, so that's
very
pretty big.
Very wonderful. Very
awesome. All right, we will be back after this.
Hey pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So, do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
We are so excited to be sitting in studio with Elizabeth Orrick from Best Friends Animal Society, telling us all the wonderful things that are happening for dogs. We couldn't be happier. Go ahead. You got more things to tell us.
I'm more excited.
What's happening? Something's coming up.
So we have, Best Friends has our annual super adoptions that are happening in multiple cities in the country. And this weekend, May 3rd through the 5th, is the Los Angeles NKLA super adoption. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We are going to have over 60 rescue groups bringing over 1,000 dogs and cats available for adoption, all looking for homes, amazing, amazing animals. And then we also have Salt Lake City coming up May 17th through the 19th. We just did New York. We just did St. George. They found homes for hundreds of animals at those events. So we're hopeful that this is going to be a great
and
turnout.
And for people who haven't heard, NKLA means what?
No Kill Los Angeles. And that is the
I thought it was another crime show.
It should be. It should be a reality show. So that's the Best Friends initiative to try and bring Los Angeles to a no-kill status. And we have a group of rescue partners and shelters who are all working together to try and achieve that goal. And so this is a three-day adoption event with those partners as well as other groups to bring their animals and try and find homes for over 1,000 animals.
And I can vouch for it. I've been to the – this is the third one?
Oh, no, we've been doing this for years.
Okay, well, this is the third one for
Super
me.
Super fun, though.
It only existed when I went.
Well,
I guess,
obviously,
apparently, in my brain.
That's how we look at it, too. Everything starts when BJ finally... or AJ.
That's right.
Now, this is
but
held up at the La Brea Tar Pits, right?
Correct, in
Los
Angeles.
And Jillian, didn't
you
get stuck in the tar last time?
I did, and I got a crew of about 50 dogs, and they pulled me out. It was like
a sledding
event.
And then all got adopted after
that. It was a beautiful moment, except for Jillian.
Except for me.
Who did not get adopted.
I did not. I got rolled.
She's still in foster.
Yeah, I still have tar under my fingernails. But anyway, it's an amazing event for those of you that are in LA and for next week's Salt Lake City event. If you're listening, definitely head out there and check it out and spread the word.
Spread the word.
We wanted to talk about this whole thing. We talked about it last time you were here a little bit about the AKC. Got you fired up.
Oh, did you ever?
But now it got even more exposure than Atomic Dog Radio. There's a whole expose on the Today Show yesterday. Now, it was really cut into a very short expose. You know, you want it to be longer, but they made it in, what, a four-minute expose, maybe?
Yeah, but the New York Times did a big one in February. So
yes,
that's
what instigated
our talk
out.
With you. Exactly, exactly.
So the whole thing is that, you know, we said, are they promoting abuse because puppy mills, there's many puppy mills that are AKC registered, so to speak, and can say, hey, this dog is from the AKC, it's AKC registered, those fees go and support the AKC, but the dogs are not being regulated. Like Russ said, and you pointed out, there's only 9 inspectors of the AKC in the AKC to make their rounds around the whole United States, right?
Well, and those inspectors can't enforce laws. They can't. All they can do.
They can just report.
Well, they can report, and who knows if they do that. I mean, would they be inclined
apparently
to do
not.
That? Because it would kind of reflect poorly on the fact that these are AKC-sanctioned breeders. So do they really want to spotlight the fact that they're engaging in
cruelty? Well, you think they'd want
cruelty.
To kick them out. You think they'd want them not in their name, but that would lose money, right?
Well, really what they can do and what they have done, but far too infrequently, is they can suspend the right for that breeder to register future litters. But they rarely do that.
They can't stop them from having litters, though.
No, and they often, you know... Again, it comes down to profit. They make money when these puppies are registered. And so they're not really inclined to stop that. And they're not inclined to have better regulations because that's going to result in fewer animals. And that's why they are so, so opposed to a lot of, in fact, most of the animal welfare legislation that relates to breeding regulations, to spay and neuter. Anything that's going to result in fewer dogs is going to cut into their profits. And it's really unfortunate because they are doing some good work, and they are sort of the seal of approval and have been since the 1800s.
Well, we've had Mary Birch on the show who does Canine Good Citizen. There's a lot
of lovely aspects
to it. But they did a rebuttal to it. They
came out pretty
quickly, and they mentioned that they said on the Today Show that they didn't mentioned that the highly publicized raids for which animal rights groups take credit in the media have come about as a direct result of AKC's reporting to law enforcement. What do you think of that? I mean, just what you just said, right?
Yeah.
Countering.
I don't buy it. I'm sorry to say it, too, but the fact is it's more than just not doing enough. It's more than the AKC not doing enough to combat this terrible cruelty of puppy mills that so negates everything that they are trying to promote, which is good breeding and responsible breeding. I believe that they are absolutely complicit. They are a direct cause of a lot of the puppy mill problems that we're seeing.
All right, well, let me ask you then how you would respond to this. And this is coming from their rebuttal, so this is not
we're just,
me
it's
saying.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Right. But they did mention that less than 5% of their registration revenue. Oh, I just reread this. It's very interesting. Less than 5% of AKC's registration revenue comes from commercial breeders. How are they differentiating between commercial breeders and other breeders?
They may be differentiating between commercial breeders and individual registrants, because according to their annual report in 2011, their revenue was over $59 million, and remember, they're not-for-profit,
right?
Of which almost $23 million came from registrations.
That's
$23 million, yeah, is not 5%.
And who's reporting on these numbers? Because, you know, it's like
politics. Well, these are their numbers.
Those are theirs.
You can find these online in their annual report on their website.
Okay, that's why I always get, you know, it's like politics. They throw numbers, and you're like, where did that come from?
Right.
So that's actually from their site.
Well,
their
and according to them, 75% of all litter registrations are done online. So how do they know where these dogs are coming from, how they were bred, how they were raised, whether or not they're coming from puppy mills? If somebody's just registering puppies online, how do they know?
And there's no standard anymore. If you really think about the AKC standard of what a breed is, they can't possibly regulate, like you said, so you don't know what you're getting. You don't know if you go to these. You got to be really careful if you go to a breeder, as you've said over and over again. Don't make sure you're not going to a pet store where they say these are AKC pups, because you just don't know.
Right.
And a lot of them are mixed anyway.
The paperwork doesn't mean anything. You have to just make sure, because there's a lot of good breeders out there. There's a lot of responsible breeders out there. You just have to know that that's who you're buying that puppy from, which means you have to go to that facility. You have to see that breeder for yourself. Hopefully it's not even a facility, but a home.
Yeah.
And see those dogs, see how they're being raised and cared for and how those puppies are living, because
but
that's
those aren't
the
ones
only
that are
way
at fault
to know.
Right now.
Exactly.
Those aren't the ones we're talking about.
But all of those not-so-good breeders are saying that they are those good breeders.
Yeah.
And so you have to differentiate.
All right, now I've got another one for you. Because I know that you are heavily involved with the government legislators trying to get these bills put before their governing bodies and to get them passed.
Sure.
Okay. One other thing the AKC mentioned, they said the AKC is well respected by lawmakers who consider them to be credible experts on dog issues, that they are relied upon for their thoughtful and considered advice when it comes to legislation that will impact dogs and their breeders and owners. Do you agree with that statement?
I believe that they are perceived to be a credible source by the public and by the legislators. I believe that they have very, very high-powered lobbyists, and they invest a lot of money in government relations, and that can be a very influential factor mm-hmm. with these legislators. I think that's part of the big problem, is that they are considered credible. They are the good housekeeping seal of dog breeding, and so, you know, people assume that that AKC paperwork and that AKC logo means something. So I don't disagree with that statement, but I think it's unfortunate that they are so adamantly opposed to things that are really quite reasonable and quite fair and are actually supporting what they're trying to do, which is responsible, good breeding and ownership.
And to before we go out, the fact that Lisa Peterson, right, the person who actually was the spokeswoman,
mm-hmm.
the fact that she didn't know detailed numbers yeah. about her own, and she is the publicity gal, I think that put
that
shed a really
telling.
Small, mm-hmm. a really sad light on the whole thing. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made. And here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at natureslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So, do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
Is your pet eating too fast? Well, we have the healthy solution. IQ is the perfect solution to help your cats and dogs lead a better life. With their new patented design, their bowl will make your dog and cat live a culinary experience by having them eat like nature intended. Having to play with their food not only reduces the chance that they have weight problems, but will also let them enjoy the chase, like they would in nature. Designed by a veterinarian technician, this bowl was acclaimed by veterinarians and behaviorists around the world and won Becker's Best in Show at the Global Pet Expo in 2012. Get one for your cats or dogs today at your local store or online at AIKIOU.com. That's AIKIOU.com.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
I'm Jet Tila.
And I'm Allie Tila. And you're listening to Atomic Dog Radio with Jillian and Russ.
Oh, by the way, we're having a blast. In the news. Dogs in the news. You know, I know that we've had stories over the years about the airlines
yes.
and how maybe the dogs aren't always treated as well as they should be, and how being in the cargo section isn't the best thing, and bringing your dog on the plane is much better. And we've heard about remember there was the dog from Westminster that got lost at the airport, it got loose and took off, and they never saw it again. There's been a lot of problems. Well, now there's some really interesting information coming to light. First of all, there's a loophole in the law that allows airlines to go not reporting animals that are injured or killed or lost in transit, because if they're put in the cargo hold, they are not considered animals. They are considered cargo. So last month in the Bay Area of California, NBC did a undercover report, and they looked at a study of a six-year span. They found that over 300 animals in the 6 years have either died, been injured, or simply disappeared. And these are the animals that were in the care of commercial airlines. This is terrible.
Terrifying.
That's terrifying.
You
it
can't
is
find
terrifying.
Your animal when you get
no.
land.
God, now, there's one gentleman. His name is Troy Stroud. I'm sorry. And he had purchased a Mastiff that was being shipped. The puppy was being shipped to him.
From some puppy mill.
Yeah, probably. No, it was from hopefully a really reputable breeder.
He
but at any rate,
so.
He spent $500 to have Jesse, the puppy, sent to him on Continental Airlines. And he was going from Los Angeles to Detroit. Well, he waited for the plane to come in, came in, no Jesse. So he asked one of the employees. The employee says, oh, you know, there was a delay in one of the stops, and so he'll be coming along. Well, 2 hours later, when he said that the plane would be coming in, he went and found the guy and says, well, what's going on? And how are things going with my puppy? And the guy says, well, better than you. Your dog's dead. That's how he was told. Well, finally, he tracked down somebody, and they said, well, Jesse got loose, and he was killed by the cargo door.
Oh.
But later, he started hunting around there, and he found Jesse still tied up in a crate.
They lied to him. The crate was tied.
Yeah,
it was not even opened.
Yeah, so they lied to him. But what's happening now because of this, and because of these incidents that have happened, not with Continental Airlines, but there's also, Delta Airlines has the most problems, followed by Continental and then followed by American Airlines. There is now a new law that they're trying to pass, which will make it a requirement of the airlines to report every injury, every death, every loss of every animal out there, anybody they transport.
That's great. Because, I mean, if we're down underneath, are we considered cargo or just stowaway?
Is that how you normally fly?
Well, if it's free.
This is crazy. Airlines don't know how many animals they transport every year. That's what they say.
That's weird.
Okay. But the Department of Transportation estimates that over 2 million pets and animals are transported every year. However, fish are considered pets, rats, you know, gerbils, guinea pigs, all of these animals. And they usually transport those, not three or four on a plane, but hundreds of them.
Yeah.
Remember Bob Ferber was on telling us about there was a loss on China Airlines. It was about 500, I don't even remember which animal it was, but they were small animals. They were all killed, but they were little. Not that they have less value, but the point being,
there's a lot more to.
So when they say, you know, 2 million pets, that's not 2 million dogs.
Oh, right.
And, I mean, this is terrible. So right now, the new rule proposes that 36 major airlines are required to report any companion animal incidents that happen in their cargo holds. It used to be only 15 airlines were required to do this, and I don't know how they decide who's responsible and who isn't. But at least it's moving in the right direction.
Well, why would any airlines be exempt from that requirement?
I don't understand. I don't get it. Why it went from 15 to 36? I would think if you're an airline and you transport an animal, you're required to report if something happens, period.
Well, and they require so much paperwork and health certificates and veterinary certificates.
Yeah, we comply in so many ways.
Right. So you think requiring all that information means they would have that information at their disposal.
They hire
outside
people.
So how could they not know how many... Not only how many animals they're transporting, they should know exactly how many dogs, how many cats, how many...
But they also should have the right people to handle live animals. They don't have people who know how to do it. That's like, it's almost like the cops, you know, they're learning how to handle...
You know, if you go to UPS or to FedEx and you say, how many packages did you transport this year?
Exactly.
They can give you down to the exact number. And you want to know where any package is at any time, they look in their computer.
Tracking.
Oh, 2 seconds. They say, oh, your package right now is on a truck and it's at First Street in Fargo. I mean, they know exactly what's
going on. Your car goes
in
Fargo.
I would never fly. Oh, nice, Jillian.
Good one.
I would never fly my own personal dog just for that reason. I'd be so terrified.
I flew
and
my
how
cat
scary
twice,
it must be
and he made it
down
out
there. It's
yeah.
loud and it's noisy
horrible.
And it's unfamiliar and you just don't know what's going
to
happen.
I had to do it before there was actually in cabin. You couldn't bring animals.
Yeah.
Back in the day. I'm in the 18 to 35 age range. Remember
mm-hmm.
this.
Yeah, it's
so
math
what else
is
do we
not
have
adding
in,
up,
what's,
Julia.
What's in our fantasy news tonight?
Oh, fantasy, exactly. So this story, this is about a Cocker Spaniel. This is the parts is parts that Russ pitched. Human parts for dogs. But there is a 10-year-old Cocker Spaniel named Zach, good old Zach. And his human, Stephanie, woke up, found Zach was not in his normal place on her daughter's bed, but was in the laundry room vomiting and passing out this past March. And she knew
was out on a bender?
Nope. It was worse than that. She knew something was serious, something was really horrible. And this Cocker Spaniel, her daughter had always been afraid of dogs, but this Cocker Spaniel had come into their lives and was really important to her kids. So she took him right to the vet and initial tests found nothing. But she was like, no, there's something wrong. And she drove him to two other towns.
Wow.
Vets in two other towns. Within 24 hours, spent the time. And what she didn't know was that she had revived him by pressing on his chest. He had 40 heart attacks in the car. 40 in the time that she was trying to keep him alive.
Holy
and what
moly.
She didn't know, she had unknowingly revived him several times just by moving him after he passed out. Just moving him would jar it again, she said.
Wow.
But what's amazing is they found out that Zach has a rare condition, this little Cocker Spaniel. It's called sick sinus syndrome. And they didn't go into what that means, but apparently it makes you vomit and pass out. and he now has, what they did was they put a human pacemaker. It affects his heart, and it thanks to a $3,600 contribution to his vet bills by the grandparents. But what's amazing is that with their hard work, they got him home, and the kids still have their dog. But I think it's amazing he's walking around with a human pacemaker.
It's very interesting, though. We've seen this. In fact, there was the one dog with the four prosthetic legs.
Yes.
Now, a lot of this technology that they have for the animals comes originally from working
humans.
On people. And usually you think it's the dogs that are giving up their lives and things for humans. But a lot of times it works the other way around, that we see a lot of the good technologies filtering its way down into the veterinary
But we're not
world.
Giving up our lives for it. We're not
no.
being experimented on. It's because we're in need, so they develop it, and then
right.
we translate it. But anyway, so I thought that was a great story. Is that bringing us to the end of the show?
It does.
Oh, my gosh. It goes so fast. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Atomic Dog Radio can be found on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and LA Talk Radio. And feel free to contact either of us, Russ or myself, at JillianandRuss@AtomicDogRadio.com.
Yay. And thank you to Elizabeth Orrick again for coming in. You've made a totally awesome show, even
Aww.
More awesome.
Yeah.
And you can
Not
find
possible.
Out more about Elizabeth's work at Best Friends Animal Sanctuary and other things she does, and visit their website at www.bestfriends.org. And I want to thank everyone for listening to Atomic Dog Radio, because it's a blast.